Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll just get this roll call done and be here. I'd like to call this meeting to order. It is the special meeting of the Kenyatta Independent School District Board of Trustees. It's August the 30th, 2012, and it is 6:03 p.m. Tony, would you call roll, please?
I'm going to call you out of order, okay? It's Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
He'll be here shortly.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Casares?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Thank you.
Here's Mr. Rodriguez right now. Okay, and Tony, that would take us to our first item.
Item 2A is discussion and possible action regarding utility service issues related to the Village of Vinton. Mr. Coronado?
Thank you. Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
I put this item on the agenda, and as we're all aware, there's a situation in the Village of Vinton that I think merits our attention. There's been some, and it's been in the news repeated times about the council not meeting under quorum because several of their representatives, city council representatives, are not present at the meeting, and the town can't conduct business even. But the issues that relate to this is in terms to, with respect to us, are really health issues, safety issues for the children in our district, and that we have a school within, a campus within the Village of Vinton. You know, this affects the students that are attending our school. If it's a health issue for that community, it's a health issue for the students that attend our school at Childress. We also have another campus there, it's support services. And right now we just are spending over $100,000 on our wetlands to be able to make sure that we provide that kind of service that the Village of Vinton could provide if they were to take advantage of several of the grant opportunities to allow them to put in water and wastewater systems in their community. You know, some of the village residents already have some water service, but not all of them. And I just felt it important that that our board discuss this issue, and I just want to put it up for discussion as to how maybe we can help in the endeavor to, you know, try and get these services to the community. I know a lot of other individuals have tried. The Rio Grande City Council of Governments has sent a resolution to the village to try and cooperate in the best interest of their residents. I know Representative Margo, I know other officials, county officials, have tried to speak to city officials of the Village of Vinton about trying to come together and set aside personal differences in terms of moving the community forward. You know, my concern for really is not just twofold because of our students that are there and have potential health issues that our students that attend Childress Elementary and our employees that work in support services close by. But it's also a matter of the economic development. We have a tax base out in the Village of Vinton. It's a big part of our tax base. And apart from the safety issues, there's also an issue of the stagnation of our tax base out there. And what could end up happening with in terms of even the redistricting the boundaries. If for some reason the population of the village were to subside, not grow anymore, we could have those kinds of issues affect us in terms of our student population out there. So it's not just a few things that could affect our district. It's several issues. And I just think that other entities have taken a stand on this and have tried to help. And I wanted to just put it out in front of us to discuss to see what ways we might be able to help the village. And that could take anywhere from maybe designating one of us or our board president to go talk to the city council of Vinton to a resolution from this board, asking something similar as maybe what the Rio Grande Council of Governments has done, or maybe even something a little different in terms of maybe a resolution asking the village of Vinton official, the city council, village council, to put this up to their constituents. If they feel that the majority of, for some reason or another, their constituents do not want it, it's very easy to resolve. Those concerns about some people in the village not wanting them, it's very easy for the council to resolve it by putting up a referendum on the exact issue. But that issue is not even being brought before the council because they can't even perform any business when the entire council doesn't show up and therefore no quorum and no business can be conducted. So I just felt it that I think our board needs to make an attempt to see how we can help the village, the residents, to try and come to a resolution for them to work together to try and resolve this issue in the best interest of their residents and the village of Vinton's future, really. So, and my suggestion would be that we actually pass a resolution asking exactly that of the council, that requests that they put this up to a referendum of its constituents. And I'll put it up for discussion.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on this?
Do we, Madam Chair, do we have a draft resolution, or have we worked on anything?
Yes, sir.
And what would that resolution entail, or what would it be asking?
Well, my suggestion would be that we, one, ask the council to work together, setting aside their personal differences, to work together towards acting in the best interest of their constituents. And in this particular case, additionally, to put the issue up of the wastewater and the water services to a referendum of the community, a vote, to see if they pass it, they would pass it. That would be my suggestion. So I don't think that's anything that would be controversial. Anything that we're trying to step on, the council's authority. It's just simply asking them to actually put it to a vote of its constituents to see if their constituents want it. That would be my suggestion as the type of resolution that we might want to pass.
Would we have a draft resolution and then present it to us at the next meeting? Is there a time-sensitive issue?
We normally utilize, through the chair, Steve Blanco or Jerry to draft those. So we would just be getting with them and maybe a phone call back and forth between Sergio or whoever else wanted to participate to get down the language and then bring it to the full board.
I think we need a board vote on even to write a resolution, though.
We would. And I would move that as a board, request our administration to prepare a resolution along the lines of what I've suggested and bring back to the board at the next earliest possible meeting to do exactly that and vote on that resolution.
Or any amendments, two items?
Or any amendments that the board at that time might see fit.
Mr. Coronado, maybe it would be advantageous if this is the first we've really heard of this, and if possibly spent a little more time thinking about it might be helpful, and you know, gathering our thoughts as to what this resolution could say, what it is we'd like it to say, and you know, a draft maybe is what I'm trying to get at.
Sure, and that's all I'm asking for at this time is just to request administration to prepare a draft and then bring it back to the board for input from the board and change it, even not pass it if the board at that time feels not. I just feel that, you know, a lot of other government entities have become involved in this and have tried to provide their assistance to the village to try and get them to come together on this, and we have not. And we actually have a bigger stake in this because we actually have our students attending in a campus that is directly affected by the services that the village would provide.
Do you want to entertain?
I would move at this time for us to request administration to prepare a draft of a resolution to send to the village of Benton.
Does it have to be a resolution? Could it be just like maybe a suggestion?
That's pretty much.
I mean, something not good. Yeah, but.
I mean, a resolution
is. Maybe a little softer, a little watered down. I have such a problem getting in anyone else's territory. And I think maybe I understand Mr. Coronado's heart, his purposes, everything about this. I know where you're coming from. And yet I feel so hesitant to step out of our box into someone else's.
But Madam Chair, it is our problem. It's our children's problem that attend Children's Elementary School.
None of them have.
They're
come
directly
to us.
Affected by this. We're just spending close to $150,000 on the wetlands project over there. If something were to happen to that, we'd have a flood. Because we don't have a sewer system out there for that school, we'd have to close it down. And we entertained that possibility not but several months ago.
Yet it has served us well for close to 20 years now.
Yes.
We've never had any problems. We've just spent all this money to rebuild it. I full well believe it will serve us well for another 20 years. If that is, you know, what has to happen. And I do feel secure in that the children each and every day come to school and we do what we're supposed to do, what we are elected to do, what we're paid through our taxpayers' taxes to do, is provide them a good education in a clean place. I feel like we fulfilled our part. So I guess all that I'm saying is maybe I don't want to boss anybody around. Just maybe a suggestion.
Yeah, I'm not saying to boss them. I'm just saying that we're requesting that, you know, it's no different than once some of these other government entities have asked of the village. It wouldn't be any different than that. But it's up to the board. Okay. That's my suggestion. And I think because of that issue, and not just that, you know, it's really not just an issue of, well, we have our services okay at Childress right now. You know, these children live in that community. If health issues come about, it may not be because of the facilities we provide for them at Childress, but because of where they live and bring it to the school. And when I talk about health issues, it's an all-around issue. And I do have a concern for the future of that campus. And like I said, I'm not trying to step on the village's toes, because, you know, but it does affect us. It clearly affects us. I'm moved.
And is there a second?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
I'd like to run out of the room. yes.
Okay, we'll start on it tomorrow.
Okay. That takes us to an easy one now.
Item B, second reading of 2012-13 Student Code of Conduct.
President Searles, board members, Ms. Fierro couldn't be with us tonight, but it is the second reading of the Code of Conduct. You'll remember that there's really was really only one substantial change, and that's at the bottom of page 7 regarding telecommunication devices. We did change the language and present it to you for the first reading, which was approved. And it simply states that possession of telecommunications and or other electronic devices, and then the rule is students shall not use a telecommunications device, including a cellular telephone or any other electronic device, in violation of district or campus rules. And this frees up, makes it a little bit more flexible for schools to have technology in the classroom and allow students to use technology in the classroom a little bit more, and that rules can be written. But other than that, everything else has been gone over and it's presented to you as a second reading.
I move to adopt the student code of conduct as presented through the second reading.
I'll second.
Any other?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Thank you, board.
Item C, presentation regarding TASB model bond management services. Mr. Brooks, Mr. Sledge.
President Searles, board members, audience, we have with us tonight Mike Brooks of TASB and Casey Sledge of Sledge Engineering for their part two presentation. They were here about a month ago for the part one regarding options for bond management and their role, possible role in that. They put together a presentation, which everyone has. There are copies over here. No one, if everyone got it yet. We do have members of CBAC here to look. Appreciate everyone's good attendance. And at this time, I'll turn it over to Mr. Brooks.
Could we get the CBAC members' names for the record, please?
Adrian, Vice Chair, why don't you introduce?
Yeah. There you go.
Introduce everybody?
Sure.
I don't know everybody.
It's time to be great.
Adrian Medina, I'm the Vice Chair. I'm a part of this. He's the Subcommittee Chair for Construction. We have Mark Lindry. He is our Subcommittee Chair for Project. And I'm going to look like an ass. I'm not going to.
Okay, everybody can say their own name.
Gabriel Solis.
Bob Sandoval, Construction.
Gilbert Garcia.
The one next to you is not on the committee?
No. No?
Lily Maldonado.
I live. Are y'all guests or just?
Gentlemen? I'm sorry?
Are you just guests for the?
I'm just
okay.
Here to listen to
good evening. It's a pleasure to have y'all this evening. And thank you so many bond committee members for attending tonight. We appreciate it. With that, please.
I think I don't feel so bad about remembering names. I have two daughters, and I need them to wear name tags.
Wow, that's a different level. Right. I won't even pass that.
I have 3 and 11 year olds, so I've got another 20 years of forgetting names. Anyway, thank you for this opportunity tonight. I think I've met most of you. There's a few of you probably that weren't here before. So we're going to sort of go through a few things that maybe a little bit repetitious or redundant. Hopefully not, we're gonna sort of speed through it, but we wanna make sure that for those of you that weren't here before, sort of hear some of the major talking points of our services. Again, my name is Mike Brooks. I'm with the Texas Association of School Boards. I'm the manager of on-site facility services. What does that mean? What does it entail? Basically, we help schools throughout the whole state with anything and everything to do with facility services. That can be environmental, energy, maintenance, preventive maintenance, staffing, construction, design review. If it has to do with facilities and maintenance, we help schools with it. So at this point, I'm going to introduce Casey Sledge.
Good evening, President Searles, board members. Happy to be here again. And for everyone that wasn't here, good to meet you. We'll jump right into this. My name is Casey Sledge. I'm the president of Sledge Engineering. I've actually been overseeing and managing public construction projects in Texas for about 18 years. I've managed hundreds of projects at every city and school. So still learn something new probably every week, if not every day, if I can remember. But anyway, got a lot of experience with this. What I thought we'd start with is, let's talk about what project management is and program management. I don't have time to give you a full synopsis of this, but let me give you some highlights. Even though I've been doing this for about 18 years, I still get asked a lot, so what do you mean project management? Don't I have a construction manager or an architect or an engineer and all these things? What do you do with project management? And the way I'd like to address that, anybody could say I'm a project manager, because if you look that definition up, that's just someone overseeing some things. What you don't want to do is have someone just stand and watch your project go by and say I'm the project manager, and that's what you all have to look out for, make sure you're not doing that. It's easy to say you're doing this and not doing it. So this is a tough thing to define. The reason I'm telling you this is it's kind of hard to understand the scope until you've been into it. So I'll tell you about what I think should be happening with project management. First thing I'll tell you is I like the term owner's representative a lot better than project management. Everybody you hire, every engineer, an architect, a contractor has a project manager or a superintendent or all these titles that are overused and misunderstood. So I'm going to focus on our role as an owner's representative. And what that really means is right at the definition of that, we're representing the owner, in this case, the school district. And your taxpayers' funds and what they voted on. Our interest is very simple. Our interest is in making sure you get what you want out of your bond project, what you promised your taxpayers, so you can keep their trust and you can do another bond project later, or you can do whatever it is you need to do for the kids. That's our interest. Now, in doing that, do we manage projects and do lots of things? Yes, and tonight we'll show you what a lot of that is. But the key thing is it's an owner's representation. The title project management generally refers to managing one project. The term program management, and this could easily say that, is simply managing multiple projects. So you can use those terms interchangeably. Tonight I think you might see both terms. The bond project like yours, you've got $40+ million here. This is a really significant project. That is a lot of money. And these construction projects, particularly what you have here in your district, you have a really big list of many different things, many different campuses. So it's even more complex. You have multiple designers, you have multiple contractors, and all these things. One project with one designer and one campus is a moving target with many, many aspects to it. One of the things that we talk about when we do some PASB training is we talk about all the things you have to take care of as an owner. That's y'all, as an owner. You have so many things to look out for. It's a talk in itself. It's not just hiring a designer and hoping to get good bids and having a good contract. That's not nearly enough. If those things happen, that's great, but it's not nearly enough. If they don't happen, that's even worse. So what do you get out of good owner's representation and good project management? Well, you get a few notable things, and this list is short, but I think the most notable thing you get, and this is based on the feedback from the community. What will your community remember? What will your taxpayers remember? What I hear about all the time is the topic, this cost savings and avoidance. I use the term avoidance. You could say cost reduction. You have a finite amount of money for your bond. You've issued or you're going to issue the debt, and you have this amount of money. The real issue is what can you do for that money? You know, you've got the 40 or whatever million, but how far can you go with it? Well, good management of all your projects, of all the design, of all the contracts, every subcontract, of all your sub-consultants, and the list that goes on and on that we don't have time for. If you manage all those things right, and we become a link between what the owners, what you want in this room, what you want, and what ends up on the ground. And there's a huge translation that goes on. First to the set of plans, is that what you wanted? Right here is an early set of one project, lots of sheets in there. And then from that to the ground, is that what you want? And is it cost effective? To get that done, what we have found over 18 years, and this is consistent, is we'll find about between 5 and 10% of your total program, your total, your 40 or so million, in cost savings or reduction if it's managed well by somebody. And that's 2 to 4 million in your case, and it varies. The bigger the project gets, the more millions you're talking about, the more there is out there. There's so many things moving quickly. You could open this set of plans and see many things unfold immediately, and this is one of your projects, a big one. It's one of your projects, it's an early set. We just finished we're doing a project in Texas for a school district. It's about $40 million, about a $43 million bond. On that project, and they have their primary campus is open now, after we had a final set of plans, a final set, not just an early set, we took about $2.5 million of items out of a campus, $2.5 million, used that money to build more classrooms and some other amenities that they wouldn't have afforded. That was before we broke ground, $2.5 million, and some cost reduction right there. During construction, several hundred thousand dollars change order claim prevention, these types of things, lots of issues. Not to mention avoiding problems that come up. At the end of the project, the construction audit, it was a construction manager at risk project, construction audit, $2 million not accounted for correctly, which is on the heavy side for an audit for that size. But that's a lot of money. It's real money in there. What we see all the time, it's not that every designer and contractor unethical and stealing and robbing. Not at all. There are cases. There's that. And we look out for that. But the real issue is the communication link from what you in this room want to what ends up on the ground. Like I say, really, that's what we're all about. So you want to make sure you have a team that knows you do it better. I'll move on. A couple other things. For service and scope flexibility, we're definitely not a group that thinks you let us have everything and we're going to do it. We'll see the ribbon cutting. We can do that, and some people want us to do that, but that's really not the best for you. We're very flexible with this, both in the services we can provide. It can be help me with this project, or help me with just the design, or the contract review, or just the audit. We are very happy to do any of that. Again, our goal here is not as much to manage your projects, it's to have you deliver the right projects back to your taxpayers. So the question is just what is the best fit for you? And that's what this whole presentation is about. What do you think the best fit is? Talk about that.
The experience of our team varies from staff to staff, but all of us in some manner have experience in all of these things, in management, design, construction. But I think what really sets us apart is those last three items within the experience of the team. School policy, educational environment, and school maintenance and operations. First of all, school policy and educational environments, they're completely different. It's not like building a Walmart. It's not like building a restaurant. Certain things that have to be done, our staff has spent several years knowing what to take to board members, what to take to the administration, what to take to maintenance and operations staff. We've maintained and operated the buildings that we've built, so we've seen them through inception, and we've commissioned them, and we've maintained them and renovated them in some cases 10 or 15 years later to accommodate new needs. So I think our experience is unique in that we have only dealt with school districts and we only can deal with school districts. Which brings me to the next point, true owner representation. Casey mentioned that this really program management or our model is more owner representation. I always like to throw in the word true in addition to the owner representation. Why is that? As TASB, we are the Association of School Boards. We can only work with the 1,000, I think there's 31 schools now, I think three were just consolidated. We can only work with them, so we are truly owned. Everything we do, whether it be in my department, whether it be in human resources, legal, risk management, everything our association does is for your board members, for your students. We cannot do it anywhere outside public entities or public schools. So we cannot represent the construction company. You know, Casey mentioned everyone's got their project managers. we can only be on the side of the table of the school district. Trust builders. Going back and looking at our staff and our experience over the years, we've learned that, you know, I mentioned all of the different things that we know, when to do certain things, why to do certain things. Part of that is because we've spent so many years working with administrations, school boards, committees, communities, parents, students, neighboring school districts and cities and municipalities, all for the good of the school district. So we've sort of become this factor that says, well, if it has to do with schools, let's contact TASMED. And in 99% of the time, in some capacity, we have done what they're looking for and been able to assist them. The last thing I want to talk about on this slide is when we started the facility services about 4 years ago, we didn't start the service because we saw a niche in the market of either facilities, services, or construction, or maintenance, whatever. But school board members, our board members, which are made up of 40 board members throughout the state from various school districts, said, we all need help in some capacity. Some need more than others. Some need hardly any. We have worked with and consulted with schools that have black students. We're helping build a new high school, create from the ground up. They don't even have teachers or staff or anything. We have actually consulted with Houston ISD on their $8 billion bond. So we've been asked to come to the table and help school districts because our experience is we know what your staff and administration needs to do to manage all the school operations. And by the way, I don't think I said this. This is pretty much an informal presentation. Feel free to raise your hand and ask questions and interrupt if you'd like. Okay. As board members and staff, most of you probably know most of this or all of it. These are sort of some rough numbers, but what I want to do is sort of paint the picture. Again, we were asked several years ago to help school districts because their maintenance staff or their administration needed help with some type of construction project, and they were also doing all of this stuff. Now, this is Canutillo. You've got approximately 12 facilities, instructional and support, all within about 6 square miles. Now, that is not your total district as far as your district square feet. All of your campuses are within 6 miles, and what we always do when we do facilities or maintenance staffing analysis, we don't just look at how many square feet you have, which, by the way, is just a little over a million. With your new building would be about 1.25 or so. But we also look at how spread out are your facilities. If you have 4 facilities all within one area, it's a lot easier to maintain and manage. Everything you guys have is spread out over approximately 6 square miles. It's a lot of windshield time for maintenance staff, custodial staff that are moving back and forth, food service, everybody. So what else does maintenance operations help do? Well, you've got 800 staff district-wide. That includes all your professional teachers, support, auxiliary. Granted, they don't actually take care of each one of those, but indirectly they do. The space each employee takes up is maintained by your maintenance staff. All 6,100 students or so that you have is maintained. The space they take, the space they use every single day, the buses they travel back and forth on, the fuel going into them, is all maintained by maintenance operations, which is the next line. This is your plan operations budget, which is about $4.8 million. Now, I do want to say for those of you that aren't real familiar with plan operations budget, that's not what funds Jennifer has available to go out and maintain the facilities. This is all inclusive. Utilities, gas, water, electricity, insurance, environmental concerns, everything. But that's what it takes to maintain your 1 million square feet, your 6,100 kids, plus your transportation, about 1.2 million. It's a large operation. About 2,500 work orders per year, managing 75 maintenance staff, custodial staff, 60 transportation staff. In addition to all of that, there's administrative duties, personnel, payroll, reports. So the reason we do what we do is because you guys have the first priority as maintenance and operations is to maintain your immediate facilities and get the students and the staff taken care of every single morning and at the end of every night.
Where did you get that 2,500 work order annually?
That is from the, you guys utilize a system called School Dude work order system. And I know the I guess he's the state rep. And I contacted him to find out how many work orders Canateo has compared to what the state average for about 6,000 students is. And you guys actually are about maybe 300 or so work orders under the standard. Now, usually the reason for that, though, is because there's not a preventive maintenance plan. Typically, a school this size will generate so many work preventive maintenance routine work orders per month. That usually makes up the gap between about the 2,500 and 2,900 that's the state average.
I'll try to pick up the pace a little bit. We're talking about the bond program. Round off some numbers, but from your last, from those six and the 2011 bond, there's over 140 projects listed of all kinds of size, about $49 million in project there. Commented this earlier, you've got multiple architects and engineers. There's four primary architect teams doing work, which means four contracts, which means four people to communicate with, and of course review their work. You have 11 facilities being affected by the bond program, work going on there, plus your new pre-K through 8 over here, again over that same 6 or so square miles. All of your bond program items certainly consist of a lot of things. And by the way, we, at the end of our program, if you really need some dry reading, we have a full list that's more detailed of what a program or project management scope of work is. It's got pages of items. But the highlights would include the master planning, scheduling, budgeting, design review, contract review and that, bidding, your delivery method, and making sure that's legit, and reviewing those contracts, negotiating all of those things. And then get into construction and the oversight of the construction phase. So just a quick snapshot of your bond program. Getting down to the brass tacks, if you will. Right now, I believe you have a current administration and CASB recommendation, or at least you've gotten from administration. We just want to formalize that, make sure we're on the same page. That is that the ISD Hire 1, contract professional employee with strong engineering and project management background, to lead bond program to completion. And, number two, retain CASB's team to support the ISD and that contract professional to ensure successful completion of the program. In short, we looked at a few options. The next slide I'll share what those were. But we agree. We think the most cost-effective option for this bond program, for this district, is a blend like this. There are a lot of ways to do it. So speaking of those other ways, to get to that recommendation, we all looked at, and the administration looked at, really four options, and we'll break those down again in case you want to consider those or some blend of those. Remember, we said we're certainly flexible, and we still are. Option A is just the recommendation we just told you about. We'll call that the project management, all projects with the ISD project manager as well. Blend of our team and staff, new staff. Yeah. And I'll have a slide to explain this a little bit more. Option B was the same recommendation, the new staff. The difference is CASB team is only involved with some major projects. For example, maybe just the pre-K through 8 Johnson Control Instruments projects, or maybe some other major projects. Reducing our end of it, essentially, if you will. Option C kind of takes that a step further. New staff still, same new staff member, has to be involved with maybe some projects, small or large, and maybe some projects we just do certain things. Maybe we just plan review or audit that project or this type of thing. So, of course, you can see how that would be, there could be a lot of options in that, however you want to slice that up. Option D, at the end of this, is the option for you to have no new staff. Leave the staff to do the O&M you just heard about, and we would manage all of these projects. I've got to say, though, it's not like the staff would be out of the loop. The staff is still essentially the owner team that we're building things for, making sure things fit in it. They still have spent a lot of time on things. To break into that a little bit further, I won't read every bit, but this is just a breakdown of option A. I'll show you one for each slide.
This is the administration's recommendation. The highlights of this are our team is involved in the whole program. That is, we would be here to talk to you about everything in it. And instead of saying every project, which is accurate, every penny is really the key thing for me. Wherever your pennies are going, we're on top of that with you and your staff, your new staff. Of course, the project management items, you see a big list here. Contract administration is such a huge, very overlooked part of this. These contracts are big dollar contracts. Ultimately, this board, I know you've already signed some or authorized some. You have a lot to go. And if you're like me, sometimes wonder what was on page 842. Is that really okay? I'm a little nervous. And you should be. That's good. That's healthy. Master plan phasing, design phase, bidding, construction, just repeating, commissioning, closeout. There's punching out the projects on the ground. Move-in is a big deal on the new campus particularly. FF&E is furniture, fixtures, and equipment. That's a whole other aspect, getting the building furnished correctly. How do you pay for that? How do you bid that out? All those items. Last two bullets, the new staff pretty obviously just helps offset some of our costs is what that does. And that's why we think it's really cost-effective to consider that. And real important, we've helped districts hire this kind of staff, either actually being in there at the interview, or we've been involved in this where we had staff come to us. It's important that we're able to adapt to the skill set of the new staff person. Our experience is it's hard to find really experienced folks you can trust in the business because they're in demand. So when you do find them, they may be really good at one aspect, not this other, and that's okay. We're equipped for every aspect as a group, so we'll adapt to whoever you end up with. That's very good. That just keeps your cost down. That just keeps the cost effective. So whoever you end up with, we'd be good. One thing we've been talking about is this includes the required independent third-party review of JCI. JCI is your Johnson Controls projects. Currently, I think at least the plan is for you to have a very large portion of your bond monies going to some performance contracting with Johnson Controls. And we've been through that plenty of times. We see that often. Technically, the way you would get to that point via procurement rules and the laws, how do you bid that out correctly? How do you just pick them? Well, you'll end up going through a design build phase. There's really five options for you to go bid a project like this in your bond. One of them is design build. And on those, you'd end up doing design build would be your legal method. And the law says if you're doing design build, someone in your district's got to take care of making sure their price is good because they're going to end up saying, I need X dollars to design and build it. It doesn't get bid out competitively like the other things. There's advantages, though. That's why you do that performance-based. However, the law says you've got to have an unbiased third party oversee their work to make sure the price is good. So you can go to the taxpayers and say, we think that's a good price because we've looked at it, we've vetted this out. That's not exactly project management, though there's elements of project management in it. That's what we highlighted here. We're thinking, the administration's thinking, that the right thing to do is, because we've done this before, is just let us act as that third party role we're already here. If it's not us, you'll need somebody. So just let me know what that one is. So that's option. Does option A make sense?
Yes.
Option B, a step down, is basically, I won't go through it all again, it's the same thing for the most part. We still have the Johnson Control projects here, but we're talking about being focused on maybe just the pre-K through A, maybe the Johnson Control, and any other major projects as assigned. And some of them you may not even know today, which ones depending on.
Let me just step in and say on this one that one of the things that we're looking at is of all of the bond projects, if you look, the pre-K through 8 has like a $20 million budget, right? So now you're thinking of Johnson Controls as, well, you know, it's controls. But when you look at it, its original project budget is like $10 million. Once they leverage it and all of that, you're looking at close to 17. In other words, like, you know, one night it just like hit me, you know, this project is as big as your pre-K project, okay? So one of the things, so these two are your largest, you know, you want to keep your eye where the most money is, okay? And so these are the two where we would reap the most advantage. On the pre-K through 8, we need to take a really detailed look at reconciling right now before we move any further, a detailed project budget with our current design before it moves any further. And I can tell you right now we have a big gap, and that's something they can assist with. A full-time team, that is a full-time job. The other one, and we are really at a critical crossroads, and that is our next big conversation with that. And the next one for Johnson Controls is, honestly, right now, your only owner project manager for the entire bond program is me, okay? And sincerely, I'm not an engineer, okay? Even if I, you know, I'm not, okay? And it's complicated. This is something that they've done before. And they have a lot of experience with it, and they're going to help you get the most for your money. And the other part of it is basically we have a legal requirement, okay? So, you know, right now we have Johnson Controls, and we need to find somebody that performs the specific function that's required in the energy savings performance contract. So what we're doing is, like, you can use them via this mechanism to obtain that service, and then you get the added advantage of they double as owner's project manager, and, you know, they have there's, like, an added benefit to that, and they sync their reporting and the way they're delivering their message and everything with the other bond projects. So these are, like, the two biggest things, you know, so that we're pound-wise that they could really assist us with. So there's some.
And if I could add a couple of things to that also. Part of, you know, we also have experience in managing energy programs and projects. At the same time, though, TASB actually has, we actually compete with Johnson Control. I'm not trying to sell our service. My point is, we already do that. We already have staff that do that side of it, but we do it from a perspective of transparency. Design build is unique in that it's nothing is competitively bid. It's and it's not that it's a bad service, but our what we have created our business model when we do energy projects is we promote and advocate transparency through all the bids and the subs. That's one of the things that we do when we manage projects that's not our division doing the work, when it's a third party. We tell them to open their books and let's look at all of their bids and all of their contracts and show us their pricing methodology. They don't like it, but we're on the side of the table of you guys, and we say, if you don't have anything to hide, then you're going to put that binder up on the table. So I think it's going to open their eyes and say, okay, from the very beginning, we need to be honest. And I'm not saying they're not going to be honest, but this is how a lot of the companies do business. That's just typical design build. So we think that we can get them to come from a different angle and show more information to the board. The other thing that I want to mention, you know, Jennifer's talked about the size of the projects. That's one of the things I want to stress, and that's why I showed you all of the maintenance and operations and transportation, everything that department manages. If you really look at it, if you look at your elementary school, your new campus, you look at your Johnson Controls projects and all of your other projects, and then your maintenance and operations, you've got almost four equally extremely large projects for a staff that's trying to maintain everything. So I'm not saying that she's strapped, but in reality, when you go through the state, throughout the state, and look at other schools, they break those apart because if you focus on one thing, something else will get missed. So do they focus on maintenance and operations and forget about the three projects, or focus on Johnson Control and forget about operations and so on? So that's another reason why we do what we do, but that's why we when we started looking at the size of the projects and everything that is going on here at Canutillo, we see a lot of benefit to our service in that it helps you guys. So.
Thanks, Brian.
So to recap, option B is we're involved from a management standpoint for select projects like pre-K through 8, JCI, maybe another major project. So option C, jumping on. Option C is the current recommendation of the new staff member who has been involved only in some select projects, maybe larger, smaller projects, and maybe just some services on certain projects. So we might manage a project here or there. A lot of this focus might be just on doing tasks per project. Huge difference in this is we're not at the role where we stand up in here and say, that dollar you're worried about, well, I'm not sure where that dollar is. You go ahead. But we did do this nice service for you, which will help you save the dollars, and that's great. And that's fine. And we do this sometimes. It just depends on the size of the project. A lot of times it's for smaller projects where we're not getting complex and things like that. Of course, it ultimately just depends on what we pick as a list of services and projects.
So to recap, on option C, they're not at the head of project managing. They're just you wanted a plan review, here's your plan review. You want an estimate, here's an estimate. But they're not leading that ship.
And thank you. Option D is not hire new staff. Let the current staff stay with your own as much as they can. And we'll talk to you about every penny you've got and every project you got. And handle those as much as we need to. Pretty easy to understand and follow. Last slide. So that's the key word for here right now. The last slide is, unless you want to see that scope of work after this, what we think the next steps are. Well, we think, since we saw you last time, everybody that was here, I really felt new at the time of the projects. We've had a lot of time to talk with Dr. Murphy and Ms. Matthews and really start to understand your projects. We've seen more of your projects on the ground. We've seen your budgets and start to understand them and a few other things. So we're getting arms around this much, much better. And you have things going all over the place. I think y'all know that. Anyway, we still need to go through an evaluation of your projects. With any bond, I'm always worried when I come in after the bond election and after the early budget, how is our budget? So often, way back before election time, that budget's not the same. Plus, it's been a few years later, and just things so many things happen. Different people are involved, all those things happen. So I'm very concerned about your budget, certainly. I see what would happen is after we determine how to best join efforts and what new staff is there, if that's the route you're going, how do we blend correctly with that? Easy to figure out, just don't know it yet. The project list is going to be evaluated. We've got to shake your budget and give you a reality check. Can you do all these things? I want to get your expectations where they're supposed to be, or I want to tell you where you're at. It's the next real thing to happen. But in all that, we can come back to you with really good layout. If we know you're going to get staff and what we think that staff's going to handle, then we can come back to you with really specific scopes and outlines, even options. We can give you A, B, C, and D in writing if that's the way you want to see it. If you're thinking, I don't know which one of these sounds most cost-effective, what's the price difference, we can give it to you. I mean, we can hand it right there with the way procurement goes. We can do it if that's what you direct us to do. Anything else to add?
The last thing I want to add is this is where we do everything. This is, we mentioned owner representation. We work only for school districts. We're not afraid to say, one of the options that generates the most revenue for our department is the worst option for the school district. We have actually talked school districts out of using our services before. For various reasons, but mostly if they go, well, we just heard you do that, we just want you to take it and run with it. And we say, there's better ways to do it. We talk them into the most cost-effective way, but also the most productive way. Casey always says it's not what you expect, it's what you expect. And if you're not involved, like he mentioned, if you're not involved until the ribbon cutting, you have no idea what you're walking into. And we encourage schools to be part of the program. Granted, you probably don't have the time, or some schools don't have the time to manage it as well as it needs to be, which is why we do what we do. But by no means should it just be that you show up at that ribbon cutting and say, okay, show me what we got. So we've actually gone to the extent of talking schools out of using the full-blown program management, most of all because it's just so expensive. And two, we can usually work with them and find better ways to reach their goals than just keeping them in the dark.
Let me remind you, well, there's money involved. It should save you money to do it right. In the end of the day, you should get more for your dollar all the way through if you do this right. So.
There's something else I want to say. Like, just if I had to tell you, like, as an outsider that didn't work here, if you looked at the bond and said, hey, what has been, like, your biggest risk factor? And one of those things has been that your bond project management has been in the hands of the director. And so one thing that has happened is if you've had a director and then switched to an interim director, and every time there's like a start and a stop, And so, I mean, God forbid anything should happen to me, but really, a bond project manager is somebody that can provide your program continuity, whether, I'm go to an island in the South Pacific or whatever, and it really gives you continuity, so you're not just putting all your eggs in one person or in one basket or something like that. And it's genuinely like what's in the best interest of the bond, I mean, so I just thought I'd, that's sincere.
and very applicable for our situation currently. Yeah. Thank you.
Chair, I have a question.
Yes,
Katie. On the option D, it says project manager, all projects. If that was to happen, do you, TASB, provide someone permanent
some
kind of deal, or how does that work?
Good question, and that comes up a lot. The answer is whatever it takes, and I'll elaborate. I don't give you a bad answer. I don't think it's usually in the best interest of any district for us to set someone in office 8-5 Monday through Friday, necessarily. And I see a lot of folks. I see some people do that, not so much anymore. Used to, a decade or so ago, it was pretty common. And then you're paying for someone to sit. I'm about the results. An appearance is important. I understand that. And there'll be a lot of appearance. There'll be a lot of time here. I don't want to confuse it with staffing your department, though. That's a different thing. What I would envision happening is we'll be out of staff's way physically. We want to be all in their space and that kind of thing. But we'll be on the ground. A lot more like your maybe the design team or the contractors are. They're here where they need to be when the project's out. One of the ways, I'll use some hand gestures, the way these projects go, just one project gets really busy here and then it's not so busy. Then it gets really busy here and not so busy. We ramp up heavy. We have 20 people doing something, then 2 people, and then nobody, and then 30 people, and then 5 people. And that's because reviewing plans and bidding and contracts and all these things, to keep you moving in a timely fashion, we need to hit them quickly. The problem with having, say, one staff member or something alone doing these things, even the smartest person on the planet with all the experience, is the mass. Well, I'll do this project now, and we'll do that one after this one's over. This is what really they would need to do, but that's probably not acceptable to you, is my guess, is let's make this last 8 years. That's probably not what you want to do. So the mass that you've got with the number of contracts, and even a small contract takes a good bit of time, grouping these projects is something to look at. So. I'm going to skirt around the answer, but whatever we need to have sitting here, I mean, there would be a lot of visual presence, there's no doubt, but I don't want to think we're just going to plant somebody in office. That doesn't help.
That's not my intention.
When we started this service years ago, that was sort of our intent. We said it's an all or none. We need to be there all the time, and that service has evolved, not to have less time on site and to save us money and save them money. It was, we found efficiencies and we became much better at managing projects. We took an old business model where they are there 8-5, 5 days a week, and we found more benefit in doing things differently to where they don't have to be on site. But again, it goes back to what Casey said, it's when we have to be there, we're there. We've had some small projects where we sort of come up with an average and think, okay, well, this one should be about 2-3 days a week. And we've found ourselves there 5 weeks in a row, 4 days a week. 6 months later, we may be there 1 or 2 days a week. So it all balances out. But through our experience, we've just found that there's a lot more benefit to not just having someone camped out all the time.
Our approach, our philosophy to this, it really is that bottom line I started with. It's getting you what you need. We certainly understand construction. It's all we've ever done. I understand this isn't working right now. We've got a concrete truck backing up. That's every day for us. We're very used to that. So, and I get that. And if you don't make the right decision, it costs us money right then. That's the nature of this business. We're very used to that. It doesn't work for us to be sitting in Austin or East Texas or in the South Pacific Island or anything. There's a lot we can do remotely, there's no doubt. But we very much understand you've got to be here standing and looking at things. And we're all about that. And I'll tell you this, a bigger risk on our side, on every project we do, but it's all we've done in my whole career, so I'm very used to it. Some projects and some designers and some contractors are much easier to deal with and things just go well, and some don't. And I don't know what's going to happen yet. We never do. Now, it doesn't take us long to figure it out. Certainly what we've learned is kind of the 80-20 rule. The better work we do early, and these things are still being drawn, saves us all effort and you money at the end of this thing. And so we work really, really hard up front. In fact, every year I do this, we work even harder up front. My opinion is, and I say this a lot too, I think the design is not necessarily getting better, maybe due to mass, and I mean industry-wide. The construction is probably getting better. for the most part. There are exceptions all the way around, which leans us to spend more time up front. But my point is, if we have to be here a lot at any point in time, we are. If we weren't that way, we wouldn't have a successful history for the last 18 years and have people hiring us again and again. And that's really how you find out we're going to do that. Yeah, you talk to them. I mean, that's really the bottom line is getting here. So while we probably have some folks here just about all the time, I don't necessarily want to. I don't want to think we just hired somebody and set them there and we called it good. That's not the right thing.
That's a good question.
Madam Chair, just a couple of questions. Is this a proposal you all are proposing?
Oh, no, not at all. The only thing we've generated is that slideshow.
So what price range are we looking at some of this stuff
Haven't put a price to any of it. We've certainly talked about it. It very much depends on your option. I think on the next step, if you want to get into the pricing, you've had a few things go on. You early had an earlier RFQ out and other firms weren't involved, didn't even know about the time. And I'm understanding that's closed out now. We're very careful with the state laws. We want to make sure you're following all the procurement laws correctly. We're offering a professional service, so we can't be bidding competitively. We want to make sure we're not doing that. And that's one reason we don't run in the door with a number. If you ask us to go give you a fee, we will come back and give you a fee right away. That's the thing to do. We didn't bring it with us. We don't have it. We haven't formulated it. The other thing, though, is either the better you can direct us what you're after, or some blend or mix of this, or if you want lots of options, then that'll tell us how much time to spend on and coming up with those fees.
I guess the recommendation that we got from administration at the last meeting was that we actually close bid on the other projects and to actually look at, I guess, to see what you all have to offer. And my concern is, without comparison, we're just giving stuff that can be done. I'm sure whether it could have been done in the RFQs that we just closed, or it could be done by you all, or it could be done by somebody else, without evaluating everything. I mean, I'm sure the recommendation from administration is to move forward with it, and yet there's no comparison. So.
I totally understand. I'd love to be able to tell you the numbers. We don't want to put you in a pickle here by giving you a fee without going out of the happening credit. We've talked a lot about what they'd be. We were talking about showing you a percentage difference. Well, if A is X, then B is this percent. But even that, I didn't think it was going to help you enough, and it was just starting to confuse the issues. I mean, if you're interested in any of these options or anything even remotely close, then direction back to the staff to have us do that. We are very happy to give that to you. I want you to have time to digest that and take it very seriously, because it is, and talk about that and expectations. We can very quickly give at least a very close approximation of fees, and maybe we tweak a few things depending on the final staff member, and we're fine with that. You have a lot of things that need to happen right now. They need to happen weeks ago from what we've seen on the project. My one concern I have to say, and I don't want to sound like I'm gloom and doom and pushing my way into a project. My concern for you is you continue on through this process, and I'm glad everybody's here taking it real seriously. That's what y'all should be doing. And your design moves forward. Jennifer commented on this earlier on this one project. You've got others. The further you get down the road, because you've got people under contract moving, if everybody was still, it wouldn't hurt you. It's just time, which is another political issue. But you got people moving, you're paying, and you're committed to. And every time they take a step that's not the correct direction, it's going to cost you money to go back and change it. It's a little bit up front. It's a lot later. Some of our talks, we have this chart that says, again, fix it now. It's easy and cheap. Fix it later. It's going to cost you. So my concern for you is that you just don't take too long, but I don't want you to rush into us at all. I want you to be very comfortable either way you do it. So we can come back quickly with something, I guess, what I'm getting at, and let you at least have an idea if that helps.
And what I'm hearing is we're not contracting you this evening.
If
we chose A, B, C, D, whatever,
that's right.
That's going to be the next step.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're going to go, yeah, sure, we can do that, or, oh, no, we can't.
It's a professional service. You're not allowed to have competition with it.
Precisely.
I think y'all are familiar with that. We would love to give you some pricing options, as much, again, flexible, as much as you want, and let you talk about those and maybe something in between. I mean, any that you like. We just needed you to tell us to do that.
Understand. So
that's what's right.
Thank you for clarifying. Is everyone?
I understand your administration has already made that recommendation to you. We're reinforcing it. We agree. I think what your staff's telling you is the best.
So your suggestion is also for us to hire
the one staff. At least as a goal. Getting that person in is obviously not done, and finding the right person for that fits yet to be seen. I think you'd have success with that.
Any other questions?
Doc,
yes, sir.
Ron Gatlin, purchasing agent and purchasing department.
All right.
Can you elaborate a little bit more how you assist me in putting all these budgets together?
Absolutely.
I don't have a whole lot of hair to lose over this. So.
Well, the most glaring thing about managing the finances is right at the top of the list. Again, I mentioned that early. It's really about this money you promised that we'll do things. If we do things and we don't watch that money, it's no good. If we watch the money but don't do things, it's no good. So we have to do both together. Very, very used to doing that. First of all, we'll adapt to how you like to do things, from the specifics of paying contracts and approvings and all those things. It's your protocol because it's your district. So we'll fit in however you like. We've done it every week, probably, and somewhere. The bigger issue is keeping up with all of these bond funds. We've already seen one big spreadsheet that's really big, and that's fine. That's the most success I've had because it's really universal, is using spreadsheets. We have several templates that we find really helpful that interlink and tie together and keep up with it. And ultimately, we've got to be on the same page with you every step of the way, from what funds are available, what's expended, where's the interest, what's in it, what's there. Essentially, what we always do is either quarterly or monthly, or whatever it needs to be. Usually, at the start and finish, it's heavy, but we'll do financial updates with you and your staff, sitting with you at your place for hours to make sure we're same thing.
What about the procurement side of it, as far as bidding?
We're equipped to handle everything on the procurement side. All we need from you is signatures and purchase orders type thing, or whatever you want to do with your staff as well. But we're used to doing everything. Writing RFQs, writing RFPs.
On the notifications.
I can put in the newspaper for you. I mean, any of those things. We're used to doing. We work for a lot of small districts, and a lot of them may not, they don't want us to do everything. Just handle it. So we're very used to doing it.
Well, I don't think we want you to do everything, but we want some assistance.
That's what we suspect. And one of the first things we do is sit with you to talk about exactly what that is and forecast out. So we'll fit whatever it is you need.
Where's Dr. Mike?
I don't know where Dr.
Mike is. Can we ask questions?
Right now, no. But if the board would agree to suspending the rules.
I'm in agreement, Madam Chair.
And the rules will be suspended. Please, the bond committee may ask some questions. Mr. Mayor, go ahead.
The one recommendation of hiring the one professional service and utilizing CASB as well. We've gone pretty far down the road now. So when that project manager comes on board, if they come on board, there's an enormous amount of catch-up to do. How involved would y'all be with that catch-up?
Very accurate statement. There's a lot of catch-up. We'll be immersed in it. I mean, we'll be managing it. I mean, we'll be.
Because I know there's no project plan at all right now.
Correct.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's not just catching up, but at the same time as they're becoming familiar with district policy and procedures, we're also laying the groundwork for what they're doing over the next 3 to 6 months. So we've done that before when we've hired new staff at districts. So
it's also not uncommon for us to come in, and we kind of coined to use this term, but people have asked us to kind of rescue this project. We've come in very late. I've come in the middle of construction. middle of bidding. Bids came in and they're too high. I don't know what to do. That's really kind of, and we come in there and figure it out and fix it. So we're really used to coming in late. Earlier's better. And yes, we have some catch up to do. You have such an interesting list of projects and lots of canvases that adds a complexity to it. So that's even more catch up. The first few weeks will be really intense. And back to this group and y'all's group. Are we going the right direction? This is what we want. We need to prioritize some things. We need to know, we're going to rank some things. We have a lot to do. So we're totally involved.
How often would you come before the board and give your recommendations? I'm not familiar with the government side of it.
Sure.
I mean, as a project manager, you would make decisions. I mean, how are you? What kind of responsibility or response would you have within the project? Because I know as a project's moving, there's a lot of moving parts, and the decision's got to be made right away.
That's right.
Every little decision can't go to Jennifer every time. You would give her gray hair.
That's exactly right. Great question. A couple of things to tell you. Number one, for us to do our job, we have to know what y'all want to do. This is your project. It's not our project. It's your project. So we have to really understand what you want to do. And we can't ask you every little thing either. So we have to really understand that end result. That campus has to do this with these kids, got a fitness budget. Now, we'll bring you a lot of key things, and we're going to find out early. We're going to basically interview you all. What are the hot topics? Are there any elephants in the room? Are there any, what's key, what's critical, what's important to you all and the public and the group? So we'll find that out quickly, and then we'll know when to come back to you correctly. So we have to figure out what can we decide without you on the spot and provide prayer for whoever and whatnot. On the reporting side of things, and this is really important for a lot of reasons, we need to get feedback. We need to know we're going the right way, and we need to equip all of y'all, either at a public meeting and or little side meetings, and every board will do it different, every project's different. Most common thing we've done, and it seems to work about right, at least once we get through the initiation process and the first few weeks of heavy excitement and all these things, once we get cruising, if you will, and we agree with our priorities and whatnot, then a monthly report publicly to the board, to say like this is really common. We'll do them as much as you want them or need them. Sometimes you need one now. There's an interest group in town or whatever it is. Then that's fine. Again, whatever it takes. A monthly report to the board is most common, more than that, it kind of starts to get old. Now, the committee, it could be a lot different. We might meet with the committee weekly or every other week or when we need to. Meetings are critical for us. Lots of meetings and meetings, agendas, and tasks going everywhere and all these things. And follow-up, that's what it's all about on our end. But I don't like to meet just to meet. So often there are times when we would need whoever this board says, what can the committee speak for, staff needs to pick colors, or whatever's going to happen. We'll know that in advance. So we'll know how often to meet. And we'll tell you we need to meet or we need answers. We'll talk about communication. Is there a sole source you can make a call on a few things? Is it staff or all these types of things?
So all those processes will be laid out up front?
Yes. Yes, we have a lot of processes to know.
Yeah, what we would envision is, for example, that they would present like monthly to the Facilities and Finance Subcommittee and monthly to the CVAC, and then depending on what the board wanted, if they wanted something quarterly or if they wanted something monthly, and definitely like a laid out something that we were in the habit of. So right now, as far as like the catching up, the architects have just been hired at this last board meeting for what we would call like the mid-sized projects, and again, building additions. So those contracts are barely getting started, so this is kind of like good timing for them to work in. And Johnson Controls, they've been doing mainly like backup and things, so this is good timing for that project as well. But right now, really, the most critical one but they're still in time to put it on the right track, is the pre-K 3. Right now, if I had to look at it, that is like the one I'm most worried about. I'm not fully prepared to, but that's the one I'm most worried about, and they would have been in a critical venture, whoever was hired.
Definitely, the way we started is we learned we're going to ask you guys a lot of questions. We're going to sit down with her and ask her and her staff a lot of questions to find out when things can be done and how much time do they have and how much input do we get and start laying the groundwork. The other important thing, though, you won't just see, or I should say, our school districts that we work with don't just see Casey and myself. You will see us, but we also rotate our staff so that we have multiple people with knowledge about a particular project. And the best thing about that is we get different perspectives. Each one of my staff has some type of either school experience and or construction and or design, and each one of us looks at things a little bit differently. And the effectiveness, I guess, of our management has really skyrocketed with having a collaborative effort on even a small $2.5 million cafeteria renovation. We have three people look at it, and we get three different ideas, and collaboratively we come up with one great idea. So we see a lot of benefit in that. Plus, we're really paranoid about one person being sick on a project and not being able to show up for a meeting, where someone else can always come in and step in and keep the process flowing. Things are kind of slow right now here, so we don't want to get started, get the ball rolling really fast, and then maybe 6 months later have to slow down because one of our people are out for whatever reason. So we'll make sure that you'll see a rotation of a few different faces, but all the same basic experience.
And to address your concern with the processes, you know, one of the things now is that the processes are being implemented not as here, like the processes like in a manual, but as they're needed. For example, the construction payment application process, which we didn't have in place. Now, as some of those larger payments are coming in, I visited with Martha, and we have that process in place now, which is very similar to other districts, which we currently didn't have. So we're paying our first pay apps for architects and contractors with that process. So some of those things, like as the need arises, all right, we need to put that one in. And so that may be something that's not as visible. And of course, chipping away at it, you know, as it's going along.
So. We had pointed out that it's worth noting one of the things we do if we're managing a project is we're vouching for every penny that walks out of your door, from design team to contractor. We're looking at that, telling you, okay, you can pay this now, we're good with this. Right. Or not, and here's why. And there's lots of variables in that. So that's the normal process you do that to me.
Yes,
Lily.
I have a few questions. On option A, I understand all the bullets and what the jobs, let's say, would be. And in option D, the same thing. And they're kind of similar. From what I'm reading is that option A, we would have our new person. And is that going to be a permanent person once we hire, or it's just for the time of the bond, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm assuming that with option A, your fee would probably be a little bit less than option B,
absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
So explain to me then the advantage between option A and option D. If your involvement and what you're, let's say, are going to be responsible for are similar in both options, what is the advantage of having a contracted project manager versus just having you?
Great question. What if I can make you understand the difference? What's the difference in A and D? Quite simply, I think really the way to look at it for you all is real simple. We're having the same type of role and responsibility, but some of our horsepower is slid over here because it's more costly. It's cheaper. Is the bottom line. You can put someone on the ground a little cheaper than we can. We have to have separate insurance. I mean, all these things. It's not dramatically different. It really isn't. And another factor is just how much of Jennifer's time we're going to pull out of her to get her out there as well. They really are the same option. We're still here telling you your money's good or not, and decision, you know, managing in that way. It's just a way to save you some cash, is the bottom line.
So by hiring a contracted project manager, and you would be a little bit cheaper than hiring you entirely.
I think it absolutely would be. I don't know what you're going to pay that person, but assuming it's a normal number, yes. Yes, that's correct. And, you know, there's some other synergies that happen in there. I mean, so often that position sometimes ends up becoming, they might take another position down the road with the district because they've got to know everything, or they have other skill sets and things like this. Is it a retired, sometimes it's a retired person who may used to do this. They might have great skills on it. You'd really be interested in it.
Yeah,
It just depends on who that is. And of course, that.
I already asked if he said from the
yeah, we're lobbying already.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I have a question for Jennifer. Jennifer, that position that is vacant under you, is that and does it is that one of the requirements with an engineering background?
It had an option whether you could either have a bachelor's degree or they could compensate it with years of experience and certifications. And the only reason that it's like that is sometimes you'll get an engineer that, like, you know, has a degree but is lacking, like, all these fire alarm certifications or, you know, hands, which was one of the things that, you know, I heard you had, like, hands-on experience with things, you know. Whereas you might get somebody that's very well-versed in all kinds of really technical systems, know, you know, all kinds of energy management systems, be able to do the graphics for them and do all of that, and be really talented, like, in documentation for, like, JCO or other things, but then they may have only an associate's degree, right? And so it's like, well, you know, well, let's just see what, you know, let's just see what happens. We don't want someone with a degree that doesn't have all this, and we don't want somebody that lacks a minimum kind of, you know, we wanted to make sure we left the options open.
Any other questions?
I noticed that on the back of your PowerPoint you have after next steps, you have the project program management services.
Okay.
And so are you going to go there?
Right.
But are you going to discuss it?
Oh.
If you're going to discuss it,
if you want to hang out for an hour, I'll talk about all that.
Let's just let her ask.
This right here is what you're offering to the district.
That's correct. What that is essentially the scope of services we provide. We pull that right off our contracts that we always use.
Okay.
And not just that page. There's
four.
Yeah. Each one. There's I think five or six different phases and categories.
You get a better idea of the kind of the spread.
We sort of gave you the quick bullet points.
It's kind of cliff notes. Yeah. You get the idea because we think it's exciting. I like talking.
We're good. Fun. Yeah, I know. Everyone's like asleep.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Yes, sir.
If I may, Chair, I'd like to address the board.
Yes, please.
I'm a pastor in the community. I've been here for several years, actually, born in Columbia, Northland. But, I'd like to quote from the good book. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about there's a time for everything. And from what I have heard from this presentation, I think a lot of districts that are growing and that have a big vision, like we do, are putting these projects in the hands of the professionals and people that can help us. Now, I understand your role as public servants, and I know that there's a lot of pressure and burdens on your lives, especially because of all of our kids. I hear you, Mr. Coronel, about that issue. And so, being that, you know, the good book just does say that there's a time for everything. This could be the time that maybe we hand over these huge burdens and projects to people that can help the district move a little more forward. And basically, to just, in a nutshell, my point is that maybe you guys can still be our public servants, and we thank you for your service and your time. Maybe it's, I mean, I see some of you, and we all have separate lives besides your time here. We all have, I'm not here because I don't have other things that I cannot do. I'm here because I have interest, my kids are in this district. But you all have your separate burdens and worries. And as young as we are, obviously, we don't want to grow older sooner and all that. So maybe it is time. And I say that as a public servant to the community and as a pastor in this community. It is biblical, if I'm allowed to say that. Maybe it's time. There's a time for everything. You guys have gone through other projects, and you guys have taken them on and found the right people and carried the burden to bed, pick it up in the morning at your other job. Maybe it is time to maybe let somebody else help us carry these projects and these things. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, for your comment. Anybody else? Seeing nobody, Tony, let's go to the next agenda.
Item D, discussion and possible action regarding bond program management models to include the possible employment of a contracted bond project manager. Ms. Matthews, Dr. Murphy.
Mr. Brooks, can you put it back on the administration recommendation, please? President Searles, board members, come to you as we have with these options, mainly the one before that, the current recommendation to hire one contract professional employee with strong engineering and project management background to lead the KNTO bond program to completion, and then along with that, retain TASB in some manner, option A, B, C, or D, to be fleshed out to support CISD and the contracted professional to ensure the successful completion of the entire bond program.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would say one of the things that we need to look at, I'm more concerned on when we're going to fill that position and we're not allowed to talk about that. And then I want to possibly have them bring back some price ranges as well and then present to us to look at that. So that's what would be my recommendation. I would say that we take no action at this point.
So we've got to take action before they can give us any price ranges.
We have to enter into negotiation.
We heard that earlier, that before we can hear, because of the delivery, before we can hear any prices, we have to enter into negotiations.
So we're going to enter into a contract negotiations. Is that why they actually told us to cancel all the other contracts? Is that the reason why?
Sorry?
Is that the reason why we canceled? We then on the RFQs for the other is because we're actually going to go into contract negotiations with these individuals already.
Well, I think the discussion, if you went back and listened, I think the discussion was that the RFQ was canceled and then that we would bring TASB back and listen to them. And then, you know, from there to go forward with TASB, we would have to enter into negotiation with them. Or if we took no action, we could take no action and then discuss this at your next committee meeting as to what steps we would take next.
I guess my major concern, Dr. Murphy, is first you came to us wanting to hire a project manager. Then you came to us wanting to hire an additional staff person. Then you came to us hiring TASB. Then you came to us hiring another on staff person to actually manage the bond program, and then you're coming to us to do both. The last time we had a meeting was what we need to identify is to see what is it that we need, what our expectations are, what is it that we need from whether, and this was between the project managers or TASB, and yet we have not identified that yet. What we're saying is let's bring them on so that way we could do work without even knowing a price. I just have a serious concern. I mean, first we got to get it together and see what is it that we need and then go after what we need and then move forward. But I'm just, to say the least, I'll just say the least, put it that way. So.
Any other discussion?
Well, if you'll notice the motion, we're not asking...
Well, there's no motion.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. If you notice the agenda item, we're asking for direction. We're not asking for a specific.
This is what my major concern right now is the budget that passed, well, including yourself, administration, recommended to us for the bond program and what the current projections are for that bond program. That's the concern I have right now. And then we could probably look from there on what is it that we need to do. But that's a major concern. And so whether it's, you know, projecting the price is that we're needed for those projects, what the budget that was approved and what those projects were intended and what the current budget is, then we can move forward. But, you know, to... don't want to get into personal.
If we entered into negotiations with TASB and we looked at one of the options, option A, B, C, or D, we could bring back to you a lot of that material with their assistance and get that fee. But we're just kind of in a situation where we provided you the spreadsheets. We know where we are in the projects. We're moving forward as quickly as we can on as much of it as we can. And we're at this moment where we just have to decide, or getting to the moment where we have to decide on the rest of the management of the projects. And we're asking the board for direction. We do have a recommendation that we hire a person and that we use TASB to assist. I don't understand what you're...
Well, I mean, we're hiring three staff people, and then it would be a total of three. I mean, we're hiring two additional staff person, a total of three staff people within the district, and then you're recommending to hire TASB. My thing is, either we keep the two staff, one that we have, and the additional one that we're looking at, and then look at not to manage the whole bond program, but to look at for services when it comes to TASB.
So, all right, and remember that the...
I mean, what's your choice? Do you want somebody on staff or do you want TASB?
The staff of three that you're talking about, the person who, the specialist position that's under Jennifer is an M&O position. This position that we're talking about is a bond contract position that would be terminated upon completion of the bond. And yes, right now we
I
are
understand
asking
that.
For
I
both.
Know that.
And you're asking me which one I want more.
Well, which one is it? I mean, because you want both. The other day you came in with the set of plans and looking. I mean, we have an architect, we have a construction manager, we have somebody on staff that's supposed to evaluate that, and we hired somebody that's going to help manage the other areas. And then we want to hire somebody else. I mean, it's nice that to say we have money to spend, but we don't, especially that we know where our projects are when it comes to a budget.
Yes, you may, Mr. Cardenas.
Do we have a general overall plan for what we're going to do? We're hiring architects, but what are we going to use them for? What's the plan? How will we proceed? You ought to go with the next step, get TASB involved, to plan the project. I don't have the expertise. I'm sure you don't. Nobody on the board has that expertise to come up with a master plan. And these people could do it.
We have, right?
I don't see
yeah. Let me speak a little bit to that. So we have separate issues. Like the CISD staff, it's like, okay, the two components. There's, you know, the director, and then there's the operations and maintenance, which is needed because we are lacking in documentation and logistics in a bunch of areas. And the other one with the bond. But when we come back to the bond, there's two different things. The bond has a very paperwork-heavy bureaucratic process to it. That's, for example, with this pay application that we put up, attach the detailed budgets, there is a part of it that's routine and mechanical, that it's time consuming, and that's done by the owner, and they're part of their internal process. That's a heavy job, like reviewing certified payroll and some of those things, okay? And that is a company like TASB, you could say, is like more of a big picture when you're talking about the budgets. That's why that relationship is so critical, you know? And then on the other side to that, it's like, well, if you're freeing up with the maintenance and operation kind of thing, and then why do you need this relationship between the contract employee and TASB? And that's because, for example, I'm going to tell you, like the transportation department, it's taking up a lot of time. So just to say that you've hired this person does not say that you will negate all of those things, you know? It's basically just fortifying it. So when you come to the issue of the budgets, right, or what we're doing with these architects, we had this board agenda item, which was the AE realignment, which means when we took all the architects that were awarded a building addition, and then they were awarded the smaller projects on that campus. So now we have an architect per campus. Now you have the concern about the budgets and the schedule. So now, part of their contract, which was awarded only on, like, Tuesday, was, and I'm already starting to receive them, and I have them from one architect, part of theirs is they are to manage, we're trying to keep the money within the given campus, within that given campus, and not shift from location, so that it's fair, right? So that architect is responsible for managing everything on that campus. They're providing the schedules, which I should have in time for the CBAC meeting and for the Facilities and Finance Committee. And attached to that is the detail, you know, finances of every one of those campuses. So now you can see that there's going to be a budget and a schedule. And so now you can, they will have, in essence, what TASB would do for the entire program, since the architect is doing that per campus, okay? So we're moving in that direction. So it's not, I mean, there is an order to the madness, you know?
And that's what I'm saying is, okay, we realign the architects to manage the campuses, and so each architect is managing the campuses, and so then we want to create another layer of somebody managing those individuals, and then we have our layer where we're managing those individuals on top of the construction delivery method. So,
right.
I mean, my thing is, okay, we have the architects present, we have, on that, we have two people that are supposed to be held responsible to the district, and we should hold accountable, whether it's the CMR and the architect. When it comes to the pre-K 8, we've hired the architects for the, each campus has their own individual architect, so there's pretty much no small bond thing that's going to be floating out there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing floating out there for us to come and have a bond project manager to oversee nothing that's floating out. I would understood if there was, you know, sidewalks and stuff that we needed to manage,
right,
then I could see where we could hire a project manager.
Right.
But then we have the architects, and then we have the construction delivery methods on that.
Right.
So then we've set up the system where on the big envelopes you would have your CMR and your architect, which the district would be working as a team. And that's why we have it set up that way and not as a design build where there's no accountability when it comes to the construction projects.
Right.
And so you had that on the high school. We moved forward. We went out for requests for qualifications. We believe they're qualified for that. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. Then you have your pre-K, and as a district, we'll work with, like we've done in the past, it's pretty much the same bond program and amount-wise and construction as we've had in the past. Then we have the architects where you'll be able to manage the architects with the construction manager at risk on the big projects. And then on the small projects, you have the choice of doing the CSP, competitive sale proposal, or construction manager at risk. And so my concern right now, I think we have an organization that is flat and is accountable, and what we need to focus on, the major concern, which we got, what's a politically correct word to say, is we missed the boat pretty much with the past administration and their projections on the bond program, and we need to clarify that, and we need to find out what we're going to do. And that's what I think we should ask TASB for us to look at that and then move forward with those.
So I'd like to make a motion. Hang on, we got Mr. Coronado.
You know, guys, looking at this, felt at one time that getting another assistant for Jennifer would allow us to move forward, and that was a possibility that they could handle if the projects weren't all at one time. We're now at the point where that can't happen. I think we desperately need to get a handle on this. My opinion is we try and look to TASB to see how they can help us out, maybe not with option A, but option B, in terms of at least the big projects. We need the immediate assistance. I don't know that TASB needs to handle all the little smaller projects, but at least with the big projects, right now, I think we need assistance. I don't think Jennifer can handle all that. We don't even have the other staff on board, either her assistant or the new person. We went through this in the high school project. We hired our owner's engineer. During the construction, we're still paying for some of the issues. It wasn't a lot because he hit the ground running and we're able to do that, but I don't want to go through that again. And part of it was because either administration was overloaded or there was a lack of communication between them and our CMR and architect. I frankly don't want that to happen at all on these projects. And I think we ought to seriously consider doing something like option B with respect to TASB helping us now. And I think the time has passed for us to try to explore these other alternatives. We're beyond that point now. Was it a possibility back a while? Yeah, maybe. But on this large project, no.
Would you like to make that a motion?
I would. I'd like to have administration. I'd move that the board direct administration to begin contact with TASB about serving as a project manager on our bond under the limited provisions of option B, and to report back to the board options with respect to entry into a contract. Not that we're doing it at this time, but to explore that particular avenue.
And then to go to Mondo's point, would you also include the hiring of one additional contractor? Would you wait on that?
Because
option B has that. I'm just asking for clarification.
I said option B.
I'll second the motion.
Motion made and seconded for option B. Tony, would you please?
I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I guess, you know, the biggest frustration I have, Dr. Murphy, is that I requested more than 2 months ago on what is it that we wanted, what was it that we asked for, and then that way we know, you know, it's just, we don't even have prices here. On the other stuff, at least we had those prices and we asked, okay, you know, it's sort of the same situation on the other stuff that we've gone where we don't have the scope of work and we have subject to interpretation on all this stuff, and yet we don't even have no price quotes on this. And I understand the process. I know what's going on, but it'll just be discussed later, I guess.
We have the new sheets that we presented at your committee meeting that have so much more information than they've ever had before.
No, I'm not, and Jennifer, don't get me wrong, I'm not. And what I'm talking about is the information that I've requested, and it's not just been, you know, the past 2-3 months. It's probably been 6-8 months, and it's been a continued problem. But we'll address that as a personnel issue.
When it comes to the scopes, another thing is I consolidated different information was on different lists of project names. So I consolidated all that information, right? And so the next step is, now that the architects are on board, is that as they meet with their campus administration, that they clarify the scope of work and they present that. So for example, by the time you arrive in your walkthrough in October, when you show up, the goal is the architect, the campus administration, and I, we know, and when you come up and when the board comes and says, hey, what is it? Hey, this is exactly what it is, this is what we talked about, and it's clear. But in order, because there's so many scopes that what has to happen is we have to get this team of design leadership in place to tackle all of that scope definition. That's going to happen as a group effort, right? So the foundation is in place for that. I mean, as soon as these contracts are finalized, we're moving in that direction. Granted, not as fast, but it's coming.
Okay, then we have that, and we're going to have somebody else that's going to be able to help you out when it comes to the person that's going to be in staff. And then we're going to hire somebody outside to do that. I mean, we're just creating layers. We're going to spend money.
Exactly.
When we're so way under budget right now.
Exactly. So one of the reasons for that. So let me explain. So you're just saying like, okay, we have the architect, we have the contractor, then we have me, and you know.
And then we have somebody under.
And then we have somebody else. Right. Exactly. So here's how that could slip through the cracks. Now the architect, he has a vested interest. Usually, he wants to win an award and he wants a photo shot of his building. Okay. So now that's when you have the, you know, your CMR there, and he's going to help to value engineer that, and they're going to work together to make sure that it's within a range of price and all that stuff. But all of that requires owner input. We have to provide them with information.
Let me just address that, because this is part of the problem too, is that we're asking for owner input, and we're getting owner input just on the architect and not having the team the way it's supposed to be since the beginning. I mean, it's 4 months ago I said, where's the CMR? This is a teamwork, and then you bring the architect, and we're telling the architect what to do. We start putting in the owner's, you know, input, and we're going to make that project bigger instead of having the team approach to it, and we're not doing it correctly. And I hope we're doing it now, but, I mean, we put in a slide, you know, that's going to cost extra money. I mean, when you have the owner's input, not just the architect,
right,
you're going to increase that price.
Right.
And so the tools that we have now, we need to use them correctly,
right,
instead of, I mean.
So by the owner's input, I don't necessarily mean program requirements. I mean budget numbers. And I mean really hard numbers, and analyzing our owner's needs, which includes things like playgrounds, surveillance systems, geotechnical testing, and all of these other things, you know, and that is something that's lacking. So in the case of the pre-K, there is that gap where there was the CMR and there was the architect, and we, as the owner, have failed to, well, I mean, the strict financial contingency, and that's not part of this meeting, but that's where an owner's project representative would step in and say,
or aren't we the owners, and can we be represented?
Well, yes, we are. Yeah, we are. And so basically that's what I need to do. I'm working on the owner project budget. I got the final numbers, and I need to put that together in preparation to sit down with you guys and talk about that. But, I mean,
pretty much, I mean, board members, would we agree?
This was
before you even got here, but we pretty much worked with the architect, and we told you, Dr. Murphy, this is a team effort where we needed the CMR and the architect, yet you kept on just bringing the architect where, you know, you start putting the input, and of course that price is going to skyrocket. It's a certain system that's in place that's where you get the value. If you use a CMR and an architect, and you have the owner working together to make sure, one, we come in budget, two, that we get the optimal when it comes to the type of, whether it's the type of wall or whatever it is, value engineering, you know, that's, I mean, I'm sure you understand
sure.
that approach. We've
CMR,
done it in the past.
The CMR has been at the table at all those meetings.
Yes.
Now, design development, we talk about what type of wall and all that, we're not there yet. We're just entering into that. But VMAC for the pre-K-8, I've met with them a half a dozen times, if not more.
When you brought presentations, it's just been the architect.
For the design. But even in the design meetings, VMAC.
But that's the way the model is set. You hire an architect, you hire a CMR, you work together as a team, make sure everything comes out. That's a construction manager. And then we're having an architect construction manager. We're hiring a bond program. We're, you know, we have Ms. Matthews as an architect, and then now we're hiring TASB. Let's just hire more architects to oversee the architects, CMRs to oversee the CMRs.
I have a question for Ms. Lantanon, please.
As a taxpayer, I'm not speaking as a feedback member right now. This is exactly the reason why we are in the position that we are in. You know, we, okay, a little bit of feedback. We asked for this project manager, what, 4 or 5 months ago? 8 months ago? And we haven't even hired that, you know? And I sit here at the boards and I hear you guys deliberate and I hear you blah. You know, stop putting blame on what's happened in the past. Let's move forward. And as a taxpayer now, I am comfortable with having TASB on board to oversee the person that you all decide to hire. Because that person is not always going to be on his toes. You all don't know a lot about construction. That's not your business, right? It is your business, but that's not your life. And so as a taxpayer, I feel comfortable having someone keeping the project manager on his toes, keeping the board on his toes, keeping Jennifer on her toes, keeping Dr. Murphy on his toes, that they will do it right. Just by the services that they are offering, establish and maintain project schedules and budgets for all mentioned projects. That's what we're after, CVAC is. Reports monthly to the ISD. Provides needed assessments and analysis of alternatives. Evaluates and prioritizes. That's a huge one. On all projects. Providing project scopes, goals, and objectives. What we've been after, CVAC. Oversees project consultants. Conducts public meetings. Lack of communication is a major problem that we have. I see TASB as everybody being on the same page. Finding the most cost-effective ways to deliver your projects. Not all the project managers are gonna do that. So as a taxpayer, I want this thing to move forward. Yes, and I want us not to spend a lot of money. But we asked for a project manager many months ago to hire on a temporary basis. That was our CVAC recommendation, right? And yet here we are, 8 months later, and still nothing. And the projects are at a standstill. You know, I can see where, yes, Jennifer has her job to do, and that was the reason that we asked for this person. We felt it was too much for that director. So I feel very comfortable having TASB on board to keep us the accounting part, every single aspect of this project, every single little person involved, that making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that's transparent, which is what the bond, what we promised the taxpayers in this bond, and by creating the CVAC, was transparency. So as a taxpayer, I really do hope that you do go with the recommendation that Mr. Bernardo put on the table.
Thank you, Lou.
Bless you.
Hang on, we got Mr. Cardenas first. You're okay?
Okay. Amen.
Okay.
We've been spinning our wheels. We've done things that have made it much more difficult. And I mentioned this before. I've got 45 years experience in construction. I know Mondo probably doesn't have that much experience. So believe me, this is the only way to go. The only way.
I mean,
I'd like to call
but you recommended an architect to oversee architects, and then, I mean, let's not leave the past then.
Well, we get an architect, far. And we used to have contractors. Now they're called managers. That's what BMAC is supposed to do. Same thing, but the whole process is the same.
Thank you, Mr. Cardenas.
Basically the same. And we need somebody or them to come in here and help us plan this thing,
then
project it.
But Ms. Maldonado asked for...
Mr. Rodriguez, I've called the question.
Well, it has to be voted on.
It's going to be voted on. There's a motion made and seconded on the floor, so we've got to go
forward. Well, we have to call the question first.
So we have to vote on the question.
We're voting on the motion.
You have to vote on the question.
There was a question.
If you call the question.
He's right. We have to vote whether we want to cease
deliberation. Cease discussion.
Or not.
Thank you.
So.
Okay.
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
No.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
No.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
No.
Mr. Rodriguez?
No.
Mrs. Searles?
And we're voting on to quit the discussion and call?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Motion fails.
Okay.
I guess my concern was CBAC recommended project manager, or some people from CBAC recommended a project manager, and then some people recommended a person on staff, and now we have, you know, we took those recommendations, and now we have both.
I think there was an issue of miscommunication in the past, and we, at our last meeting, when Jim Maxfield and I sat before you, we clarified a lot of those issues, and put forth, immediately following our presentation, Dr. Murphy put forth, I think, his recommendation, which is inclusive of ours, that includes a contract temporary employee that would be a bond manager alongside TASB. TASB was not our recommendation, that was administration's. So by you suggesting that we not have a contract employee, you're basically suggesting that our recommendation is thrown out. So that's really where I'm having concern with, because we went through all this thing to kind of clarify ourselves, and now we're kind of back to square one. You're not listening to our sort of recommendations and saying, listen, these guys know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. That's really why we feel comfortable, even with his, I haven't taken a vote of our CBAC ourselves with the TASB resolution on top of it, but I do know having a contract temporary employee was what we wanted, and we had put that forward.
At the other.
We had 2 days ago, Tuesday, TASB CBAC came up with the following: expedite the filling of the position. Currently, that's going to take care of the bus and some transportation. Two was expedite the filling of the temporary full-time management individual to report to and assist Jennifer with overseeing the bond project. That's what we recommended, and that's what we're doing. Exactly what we're doing. And three was to contract with TASB to assist Jennifer in developing a comprehensive plan of action for coordination among various architects and contractors to include setting target completion dates. Just an overall master plan for the whole project. One school, one project, easy. You have this many projects over so many campuses and different architects. Different engineers, I'm sure they'll learn about that. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. You have no idea how much coordination, how much effort would go into this the way it is. It can be done, but we need some expert help.
Mr. Cordova.
You know, one of the things, and maybe, and we can ask TASB down the road with this other person that we're hiring, we don't have to really keep that person till the entire project, the bond money is expended. Once we don't feel there's a need, and our assistant and Jennifer can handle those, we can. I don't want to leave it just leave the contract to say until the money's out. No,
we never suggested that. I think that.
I think maybe that's, you know, but I think right now when we have the PK through 8, and we're going to have the HVAC going on, and we're going to have to start the design on the gym, the two gyms, and all that, and all is hitting at the same time. You know, we need additional personnel if we're going to carry these projects all at the same time. If we had the luxury of you know, spreading them out over several more years, well, maybe we could try and handle it that way. Put a stop on all the other projects and let's focus on the PK-3A. But I don't know that we're that kind of a position anymore.
Mr. Flores?
Can I
say
one more thing? One more thing. They're going to assist, or hopefully they will, look into the cost of the foundation, some of the projects, all the projects we've identified. I don't think there's enough money. Personally, I don't. But it's up to them to look at it. Somewhere down the line, before we get much farther, what are we going to have to cut to be able to do the projects?
Mr. Coronado?
That's why you need this master plan. You have to look at it from day one, very top. And that's what they will help us do.
As well as audit our program. And I think we heard at the beginning of their presentation on both the times that we've listened through it now, that they will provide an audit service that they've already indicated has saved other districts an exceptionally large amount of money. Probably, as I'm looking at it, will probably pay their fee and what they're going to save us in auditing. And I think that is beyond worthy. So is there any more, Mr. Flores?
Madam Chair, board members, I'd like to say that the district is at a critical juncture here. To reiterate what Jennifer was saying earlier, based on the experience that I have in working with projects and project management, is that at this time, I mean, we've been looking at discussions that you've been looking at for that second person for that MNO position now for almost roughly about 2-3 months now. The critical point here is you're at a critical juncture because you need to move ahead while and get these projects going. And trying to wait, in addition, trying to get somebody to help you on board, that might take a while, again, to get that person up and running and to be able to bring in an entity like CASB to provide the professional services that are required to get these projects going. So again, looking at option B is to look at those major projects where the expenditures are over $25-30 million and to get those projects running and run professionally.
Thank you, Mr. Flores.
I just want to say the owner's project representative, their most critical role is to coordinate, to provide, facilitate the information for you all to make good decisions. So in the pre-K through 8, you need the architect to give you the three components, the design together with the cost projections from VMAC together with our budget, and to tell you, look, these are the three components. Whatever you want to do, so we can make sound decisions so we don't have to backtrack. And facilitating that information is something that regardless, I mean, that's something that particularly in the pre-K through 8, that's our main objective right now. So, and that's where Jasmine.
Motion made and seconded for option B.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes. That was painful. But I think we're all on the same page. Smiling face?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Mr. Tardis.
And let's be clear, it's to enter negotiations with TASB,
yes,
to bring back a proposal with fees,
yes,
which then will be voted subsequently upon.
Absolutely.
At that point.
And it comes with the person.
Just to clarify, Steve check on the protocol that we're,
yes,
doing things.
Absolutely.
Thank you all. And with that, it is adjournment time. Meeting's adjourned.
We'll bring back both the position and the task.
This Matthew, you have,
oh,
a,
yeah,
big,
by the way, folks. I know it's totally inappropriate, but thank you so much. Thank you.
Martha.
Oh, yeah.
If I haven't, do I need to write anything?
Sorry.
If I haven't, I need to write.
If you don't have any, if nothing, just take an A. We were having y'all sign at the end of this, that every year, and they want us to move it to start at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
And not.
It's white on yellow.
Okay. This one is what I was telling him is I always have you all sign up.
Did you receive more than $250?
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to get it. Now you say, no sé. NA, not applicable, so no hay.
So, en 3 and 4 le pongo NA.
NA.
Okay.
¿Le pongo las tres?
Sí.
¿Y luego aquí? ¿Aquí? Ay, me duele mucho la cabeza. ¿Y luego estas de 2012 purchase?
That's for, yeah.
Will you sign that up for secretary?
In 1213, right now it's for it's already 1213. Si cambia, I can modify it and put the date on it. ¿Sí me entiendes cómo?
No, o sea, yo pensé que era nomás por un año. Por
este
eso.
Es un año.
Sí, pero ¿eso está bien entonces?
Sí, sí. Okay.
¿Se lo, ¿le tomo que lo lleno?
Sí.
Okay. You never know who's going to be back.
No, no, it's also a person who's
yo me acuerdo cuando estaba de employee. ¿Así estás tú ahorita?
Sí.
Qué gacho.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Las otras nomás eran las instructions de...
¿Qué hice con sus papeles? Ya no quiero más papeles. Ya estoy tirando mucho papel.
Yeah. Your head's better.
Yeah, I saw you took off your wedding ring. I thought, oh my God, she's getting divorced and everything.
No, no, no.
I
didn't
get it. Do you think it's sinus?
Yeah.
Have you taken the sinus medicine?
Did you try? So what you're telling me is that
it's just
want to
skin
more than
and it's green. You want to see
medicine? Oh, sure.
Yeah, the Sudafed, that's good. Mm-hmm.
Now, can you scratch another one that I just say here? Where am I?
In India, just a, you know, Walgreens is hard to get anywhere.
Okay, let me have that.
Here you go, this one.